Psalms chapter number 51, I will just read two verses. Psalm 51, I'll read two verses. Create in me, verse 10 and 11. Praise God. Psalms chapter 51, I will actually read from verse 10 to verse 13. This was read during the course of Bible reading. I'm going to read it again for the purpose of emphasis. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me by your generous spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for another opportunity to engage with your word this morning as a church. Lord, I ask for grace, both to preach, I ask for grace for my brethren to receive. I ask that you anoint their ears and their hearts this very morning, so that they will receive this word as coming from your throne, the throne room of grace. I ask, O Lord, that no force in the kingdom of darkness will be able to stand against your word as it penetrates into the deepest part of their being. I ask, O Lord, for an anointing upon myself to declare your word simply, in accuracy, in simplicity, in the love, and in the comfort of the Spirit of the Lord. Lord, I ask that at the end of this teaching this morning, we will have been transformed by your word. We will have understood what you want us to understand this morning. And far beyond just understanding it, there will have been an impartation, an empowerment to follow it through. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. I'm teaching this morning by the grace of God on heart reset. Heart reset. Heart reset. I'm so glad that we've got days and months. I'm so glad that the heart rotates around its axis, which gives us days and nights. But I'm particularly glad that the heart also revolves around the sun, and that gives us the year and the season. When it's 365, the heart completes that cycle around the sun in 365 days plus 6 hours or so, and that gives us the year. I'm particularly glad about that because a new year presents new opportunities. It presents a fresh opportunities for a fresh start. I'm glad that we don't just have endless number of days, one coming after the other. I'm glad that the Lord has blessed us with this very beautiful chronological way of starting things again and afresh. And that's the opportunity that the new year brings to us. During the new year sets in, it gives us this opportunity to, as it were, press the restart button, press the reset button. In Bible times, especially among the Jews, they had this peculiar way of celebrating every 50 years. They call it Jubilee. So in the year of Jubilee, everything is kind of reset back to its normal. Land that had been taken from people because they were not able to pay is restored back to them. Debts that have been held over the years are canceled. I wish we could bring that back so that, debts are canceled. Everyone is returned. Slaves are returned to their homes. It's like the Lord gave the children of Israel this opportunity to reset. Everybody go back to the basis and start again. Now, I'm so glad about that. And like I said, I'm glad that we have the opportunity to start another year. People always wait for the new year and then make resolutions. My wife was telling me yesterday that she heard somewhere that 90% of resolutions that are made at the beginning of the year are broken before Valentine's Day. I don't know where that particular statistic came from. But what I'm talking about this morning is very much more important. We're talking about the heart reset. What is reset? To reset something is to get a system working as originally intended. Is to get a system to work as originally intended. Now, phones, computers, smart TVs have tendencies to misbehave after a while. After running for days or weeks, sometimes even months, they have this tendency to start misbehaving. But the people that put the technology together have a way of dealing with this, and they put what we refer to as the reset button. So the reset button takes things back to where it was at the beginning, or where it brings it back to a place where it will now begin to function normally. I believe that the Lord wants us to have a heart reset, a place where we come to and we begin to ask the Lord to put us back to what it was originally. Now, your heart needs a reset. My heart needs a reset. Our motives, our thoughts, our outlook to life, our plans, the way we view things need reset from time to time. And by the way, what we need is a hard reset. Now, I've been made to understand that there are two kinds of reset. There is the soft reset, and there is the hard reset. Now, the soft reset is the one that you need, you put on, maybe when you are using your phone and there are, you're not able to access certain messages, or you're not able to read certain messages, or you're not able to make some calls, or your phone has become sluggish, slow, or is displaying a wrong date and time, making you give some excuses for your boss to come late to work. What you need to do is to press the reset button. Now, this particular button brings things back. For instance, maybe the touch screen has been unresponsive. You press this button. Usually, it comes with the on and off. So you press it off, and then after a few seconds, you press it on again. And what was the original problem just all of a sudden disappears. It's like magic. I'm giving some of you some tools to help you, you know, as a technology guru, praise God, you know. Just kidding, I have no clue about it, you know. So that's called a soft reset, you know. But with this kind of reset, no information is lost or deleted. Some phones actually will, once you press the on and off button, once you press it off, it will actually ask you whether you want it to restart, or you actually want it to go to sleep, or you want it to completely go off. And this fixes a lot of problems. We've got a smartphone, a smart TV by the grace of God in our home, like I believe many people here do. And sometimes it misbehaves. And my kids have gotten to know that all they need to do is just to put it off and then put it on again. Even my five-year-old would say, "Daddy, just put it off and put it on," you know, and it will reset it. And that will fix most of the problem. And that's called a soft reset. But what I'm going to be asking us to do this morning is the other type that is called the hard reset. Now, what does that entail? It means to revert a phone to its original setting. In that particular ad reset, you actually clean out the operating system, referred to as the OS. You remove the data, you remove the information that has been added right from the time the owner purchased the phone. It erases everything. Unlike the soft reset, whereby you still have the contact on your phone, when you go through hard reset, you lose everything. Everything is erased, and it's like you're getting back to what it was when you bought it originally from the dealer. It comes to what it was, they are out of the box condition, the way it was bought brand new, that's the way it goes back to. So if there are applications that you have already put there, if there are software, you will have to put them back on again because the hard reset has removed everything. All your contacts are gone. All the information are gone. The email are inaccessible. Why? Because this is a deeper reset. This is used to fix, corrupted software. It's used to fix, remove viruses. This is used to remove bad applications or revert unwanted setting. In short, this one gets it back to what it was originally when it was bought brand new. And that's exactly what our heart needs. Our heart needs a hard reset. It needs a hard reset. Why? Because certain applications need to be gone, completely deleted. Certain software needs to be completely removed. Certain way of thinking, way of life, outlook to life needs to completely go. The issues that have been corrupted in our heart over the years need to completely go. They don't need a touch-up. They need to be removed completely to give space to a new one, to a brand new way of life, and a brand new way of thinking. And that's what I believe the Lord is calling us to this morning, the hard reset of the heart. The hard reset of the heart. And somebody is going to ask, so why do we need this reset? Very simple, because there are evil thoughts. Mark chapter 7, verse 21 talks about the evil thoughts that emanate from the heart. What defiles a man is not what comes out of his mouth. What defiles a man is what emanates from the heart. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. What defiles a man, to correct myself, is not what goes into a man, Jesus explained. What defiles a man is what comes out of him. But what comes out of the man actually has its origin from the heart. So if there's going to be anything cleaned up in what comes out of our mouth, it has to be cleaned up from the source, which is the heart. It talks about evil thoughts coming from our heart. Adulteries, fornication, murders, theft, covetousness, wickedness, and evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. And these are some of the things that unfortunately have corrupted our souls over the years. As we start a brand new year, there is no better time to reset our heart other than now. I mean, we can reset our heart anytime, but it's so good to have it at the beginning of the year because it just sets you in course and it makes you, determined to see something new happen in your life. There are certain outlook to life that we need to begin to get rid of completely. Not just refresh as in a soft reset, to get rid of completely in the hard reset form. My wife was talking to me about a lady that shared something with her not too long ago. And this lady was describing the state of their home. And what she was describing was a situation of like having a business partner rather than having a husband because they will make contributions and this lady was off work for a while and the man was the one sustaining the home. And then by the time this lady would go back to work, the man was actually asking for the lady to pay back the time that she was off work because she was the one making payments. Now, that man needs a hard reset to understand what marriage is all about. Our outlook, our thoughts about certain things have been completely corrupted by the society that we are in, such that we actually don't know the right from the wrong. And so you don't want to just put on and off. You actually need to go really deep into the operating system and delete everything. And delete everything and get everything back to order. So this morning, that's exactly what I believe the Lord will want us to do. Now, your heart was created by God. Because the question will come, Pastor, if you're asking for a reset of the heart, reset to what? And that's a very valid question. Reset to what? It needs to be reset to what it was originally. What was it originally? That's the good question. Originally, your heart was created in such a way to love God. Your heart, my heart, from the one who manufactured it, was made to love God. Let me make it simpler. Your heart's original design was to derive its pleasure in pleasing God. The original design of your heart is to derive its pleasure in pleasing God. It means your heart wakes up in the morning thinking, how will I please God today? Your heart goes back to bed at night thinking, I hope I have pleased God today. How do I please God tomorrow? That's the way your heart was put together originally. In your thoughts, in your words, in your actions, your heart was, it was supposed to derive its pleasure from pleasing God. In other words, your heart gets its satisfaction, its greatest excitement, ecstasy, adrenaline rush, if you like, when it pleases God. That was the way it was made originally. So we are resetting back to that. But wait a minute, somebody will say, I have never known that. My heart has never functioned that way ever before in my life. Great. And I thank you for your sincerity if you have said that in your heart. Why? Because before your heart, before you got to know the state of your original heart, something crept in. There was an invasion of a corrupt software or whatever you want to call it, called sin. The devil hijacked your heart before you got to even know what your heart looks like. So it was corrupted right from the time. So by the time you got to know that you've got a heart, unfortunately, you got to know and you got to relate to a corrupted heart. And that is why some of us, even if you were supposed to ask you to revert back to what your heart was, it was going to be from fry pan to fire, because your heart was never good at any point in time, because it was already hijacked by the devil before you got to know that you even had a heart. So we're not talking about reverting to what it was at the corrupted stage. We're talking about what it was when it was created and fashioned. Don't forget that the Lord formed and fashioned you and put you in your mother's womb. And so when you were being dispatched, as it were, from heaven, your heart was created to always derive its pleasure in pleasing God. Your heart was created to always derive its pleasure in pleasing God. In other words, your heart always asks the question, what will please God? Then I will pursue it. Does this please God? Now, that is not from the standpoint of someone trying to evade punishment. It's just the way your heart functions. It derives its pleasure from pleasing God. That's the way it was created. So today we need to have a marriage that wants to please God, because it is run by people whose heart wants to please God. Today we ought to have businesses that are run by people who want to please God. Why? Because their heart was originally created to do so. Unfortunately, that's not exactly what we've got today. We've got a corrupted system that has corrupted our hearts to the point that we are completely far, diametrically opposed to what it was originally. And this morning, I believe the Lord wants to challenge our heart to go back to what it was originally as he made it from heaven, the way it was made from heaven. How then do I get my heart back to work as originally intended? Good question. Now, like I said, your heart was created to always desire to please God. I don't know what your desire is. I don't know what you're fond of doing. But I remember growing up as a young boy, my whole system was always thinking about soccer. I go to bed thinking soccer. I wake up thinking soccer. I dream about playing soccer. You know, all the entire community, there was no field of play that I've never been to. Because I was actually very good at it, you know. Does that sound like bragging? Okay, no, I don't mean, I was actually very good at it. I was telling my kids, we were talking a few days ago, and I was telling them my exploit in soccer. I said, in my heydays, when I was really there, we used to have team calls, team names, and I was called Road Gullit. Now, if you know anything about soccer, in 1991, Rod Gullit was the most expensive footballer in the world. Amen. And that was my team call because I was really good at it. That was my passion. That was where my heart was. I said that my father was had a different thing, and he did not see me play soccer, you know. I jokingly say that I probably would have been a soccer star, except that my father destroyed my career. Pray. Anyway, that's on a light note. Now, but that was my passion. That was what I woke up thinking about it. I go to bed thinking about it, you know. I don't know what is in your heart today that is actually your passion. What if pleasing God replaced that thing that is your passion today? What if pleasing God means so much more to you than what you currently have passion for? That's exactly what heart reset means. It means bringing your heart to the point whereby your desire, your passion at every point in time, every day, 24/7, 365 days a year, You are always thinking, how do I please God? 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 And if this infiltrates into all areas of our lives, then we'll have less struggle, perhaps even no struggle with some of the things that we are having struggles with. We'll have no struggles with our businesses. We'll have no struggles with our marriage. We'll have no struggles with our family life. We'll have no struggles with our relationship. Because our desire, our pursuit is going to go beyond that person, that man or that woman, that boy or that girl, that employer, that neighbor. It's going to go beyond them to thinking about what pleases God in this instance. 2018, I want your heart to be reverted back to what it was originally, because you were created better than this. I was created better than this. And that's why it's important for us to go back to the Word of God and find out how our hearts could actually be reset in the hard way. Now, to give us we'll turn to the Bible in a short while to read about this man called David. Now, David had a very successful career as a soldier. And before then, he was actually much loved by the people by the reason of the fact that he was the one that defeated Goliath, if you still remember the story. David, he had prior been described, before he wrote Psalm 51, which we're going to read in a short while, he had been described as the man after God's heart. 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 14. He was described as the man after God's heart. In other words, himself and God, the way they are like inseparable friends, if you want to put it that way. Their heart was glued together. And his heart couldn't have been glued to God if he was not in sync with God. His pleasure, what was giving him the greatest pleasure was just pleasing God. If you read the story as it's recorded, I believe in 1 Samuel chapter number 17, you will discover that his idea to go and face Goliath had nothing to do with his experience as a soldier. His desire to go and confront Goliath was because he wanted to please. He was so much passionately in love with God that he said, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine? That all you guys will sit down and it will defy the armies of God." I mean, armies of God? Who is he? So is the impetus, what gave him the drive to go to face Goliath, was his passion, his passionate love for his maker. It had nothing to do with experience. Now, he brought about his experience, so he brought it on the table when they challenged him, what experience have you got? And he said, I kill lions, sir. I kill bears, sir. And they said, but that's not, we're talking about human, we're talking about this man, giant, you know. But because you had that, okay, maybe you can go. And you remember the story, they gave him the instrument and the coat of Saul, and he couldn't go. His passion, what I'm saying is it was like his heart was glued to God. This was a man after God's heart. He was at that time functioning as his heart was originally made to function. Now, but something happened. Something happened, and that was why he wrote Psalms chapter 51. David came to a point in his life where he became very successful. He was a successful king. He was so successful, and he won so many battles that there were actually, he had already put every of his enemies at the fringes. By the time Solomon was going to come to the throne, there were no battles to fight. And so Solomon had nothing to do except to start marrying wives. There was no war to fight, because the king was supposed to be leading them to war. But David had so much suppressed, conquered everyone, that nobody dared raise his hands against Israel. So when charged to replace David, in his death, there were no flies to treat. There were no calls received. The only thing that was showing up on his internet, as it were, were the images of beautiful women from Egypt. So he started marrying everyone. I'm saying that David was so much successful as a king. But someday, something happened. There was supposed to be a war, and he was supposed to lead Israel to the battle. But for some reasons, he did not lead Israel to the battle. He apportioned the battle into the hands of one of his generals. And that time, he was walking upon the top of the palace, and he saw this beautiful woman, Bathsheba by name. And he called his servants, get me that woman. And you know how it ended. He ended up committing adultery. He ended up murdering the husband of the woman. And he broke all the breakables, so to speak. We just completed a series on the 10 laws of freedom. And we dealt with some of these things. David broke 6, 7, and 10 of the laws. He broke the laws of covetousness, of murder, and of adultery. All at a go, all clean together. And so he dipped spiritually. His heart became corrupted. His heart was separated, as it were, from his maker. His heart began to function in the way of the world. His preoccupation was no longer with God. His preoccupation was about his business, his life, his family, his wife. Every other thing was not important to him about God anymore. His heart became corrupted. And it was going to continue for a while like that, until a man by the name Nathan, a prophet, came to him and then talked some good senses to him. He narrated the story. I don't have the time to go into that. And all of a sudden, David understood that he had gone far from the Lord, that his heart had already become corrupted, and he recognized that he needed a reset of his heart, otherwise he was going to end the way of Saul. Of course, he still had in his mind how Saul ended. Saul started beautifully well, but he ended very badly. As a matter of fact, he ended in the house of a witch at Endor. That was how low Saul went. David wouldn't want to have any of that. So rather than just continue to do it his own way, he felt, Lord, I need a reset. And that sets an example for us this morning to know exactly how to reset our heart. If you've got a copy of God's word, I want you to open to Psalm chapter 51 as we glean from David's example of how to reset our heart. How to reset our heart. Psalms chapter 51. And I will read verse number 3. Psalms chapter 51, and I will read verse number 3. For I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is always before me. Now, these three things I'm going to be talking about in a short while will be involved in the hard reset of our hearts. Somebody is asking the question, so what is involved with regards to this reset of my heart? How can I get 2018 to be better than all the other years put together? How do I deal with the corrupted soul, the corrupted thought, the corrupted, what we call thinking? How do I get back my heart? Now, the first thing to know in this place is what has been written in verse number 3. Acknowledge your drift away from God. Acknowledge your drift away from God. Verse 3 says, for I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is always before me. By the way, to acknowledge is to accept or admit the truth about a matter. Now, you know the reason why it's going to be so difficult for God to help some of us? We have not come to a point where we have actually acknowledged the fact that we have drifted far from God. We have not come to the point where we have admitted the fact that the way our heart functions is not what it's meant to be originally. We have not come to a point where we can admit that, look, I am struggling. I am in trouble. It's like the case of a boy who went into the beach and had no idea about swimming, but because he came across some girls around the beach, was going to impress them. So he went into the river, into the sea rather, and started swimming, even though he did not know how to swim. All of a sudden, he started sinking. And as he started to sink, he felt it was going to be embarrassing for him to start shouting, help. So he kept trying. He kept struggling. And after a while, he felt, look, I need help here. There was a lifeguard around there who was looking as this boy was struggling. And he wouldn't come into the water to help him. And the boy was there struggling, obviously struggling, but the lifeguard was not going to help him. And after a while, after a few minutes of struggling, and the boy was already, drinking some seawater and his belly was getting filled up, he felt, look, I'd rather embarrass myself here or otherwise I'm going to die in the sea. He said, help! And then he would go into the water, and then he would try and get himself up again. Help! And then the lifeguard went in there and got the guy on board and brought him to safety. And after resuscitation, the boy was so furious, fuming. And he told the lifeguard, but you saw me when I was struggling. And I was expecting that you would come. What, is that not your job as the lifeguard? And the lifeguard said, sorry, I didn't know you were struggling. I thought you were just showing some, displaying some things to the girls. I said, okay, so you saw the girls? I said, of course, I saw the girls. I knew you were trying to show off with them. I would need to wait for you to tell me that you were struggling before I would come over. So that's not the kind of lifeguard that should be operating in this area, because you are a dangerous lifeguard. Anyway, why I went into that is because some of us are struggling with our heart. It's completely corrupted, far away from what it was originally. And that, of course, is coloring the way we deal with our life, the way we deal with our business, the way we deal with our marriages, the way we deal with our relationship. But we have just refused to acknowledge that we have problems. And so it is difficult for God to step into the matter and help. It is difficult for anyone to even help in the situation of the fact that there has not been an acknowledgement of the fact that there is a problem here. Some of us are still proudly displaying the fact that we belong to a church. I still go to church anyway, even though we are having troubles with our heart. The things that the Lord desires that gives us pleasure is no longer pleasurable to us. We are not pleased. It's not giving pleasure to God is not of utmost importance to us. We have drifted far away from that. Other things have replaced it, entertainment, business, money, and all this. The Bible calls them the superfluity of nothingness. But because we still attend church once in a Sunday, sometimes even once in a month, we think we are okay. So we have not acknowledged the problem, and God is unable to help us. So the first thing, people of God, is to acknowledge your drift away from God. Number two that David will tell us here is in verse number 10. So after you have acknowledged your drift away from God, after you have acknowledged the fact that your heart no longer functions as it's supposed to be originally, some of us actually have had great experiences with God. We knew when we got born again, when we began to serve God, how the heart, there was a first love that was injected in our heart, and we were passionate about it. But that was in the years past. We now report it as an history. What used to happen, in those days, in those times, and it's never now. It used to be there. Some of us I've had that experience, and that's good. But the truth of the matter is that experience is not supposed to be in the past. It's not supposed to be thrown into the dustbin. It's supposed to be a continuous experience. The Bible talks about the glory of the latter house shall surpass the former. It's like a shining light, the Bible says, that shines more and more. The power of a righteous man, it shines more and more unto the perfect day. Our pleasure in pleasing God this day ought to be far greater than what it used to be in past, in the years past. And that's the challenge this morning, people of God, as we start this 2018, that you need to acknowledge that your heart has drifted from God. I need to come to a place where I acknowledge that my heart has drifted from God. That's when I begin to ask, that's when I begin to do this second thing that we see David do here in verse number 10. It says in verse number 10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. In other words, it's not just about acknowledging your drift from God. You need to ask God to reset your heart. You need to ask God to reset your heart. Some of us, you may call this salvation. You may call this rededication. Some of us may call it a renewal. I will call it a recreation. A recreation, to recreate. In verse 10, he says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. It is very important for us to come to a place where we ask the Lord to bring back, as it were, our first love. Like I said, the first love I'm talking about, some of us have actually never experienced it because our heart was hijacked by the devil and inoculated with sin ever before we got to know that we had one. But for some of us, we have actually had a glimpse of what it will mean to live a life that pleases God, that is driven by the passion to please God. And now we need to go back to the same God who created that original experience and say, Lord, I've gone far from you, but will you please create in me again a clean heart? Now, this is not some casual prayer that you take when you are taking popcorn and watching movies. This is a very intense, hard reset. For some of us, it will mean that we will actually lock up the door of our room and go to God in prayer and sometimes even in fasting and crying to God, Lord, create in me a clean heart. Get this stinking thinking, way of life, motives, corrupted motives away from me. It's killing me, Lord. I'm asking that you reset my heart. And to do this, one thing is very important for us to realize, that this comes from a heart that is surrendered to God. In other words, you need to come to a point where you say, Lord, I surrender all to you. Will you please come and do a surgical work, a deep surgical work in my heart? Because this is not going to respond to any cosmetics, palliative thing. It's not a surface kind of a dealing. We're talking about your heart. Your heart is the deepest part of your being. And for God to get into that place, you need to be completely surrendered. You need to stay on the surgical table, as it were. It's a heart surgery. It's not just a removal of some lipoma in your skin. It's a heart surgery. And it needs you to surrender completely. Some of us are still in this realm of negotiations with God. You know, God, you do this, I do that. Okay? You do that. No, not that. Before the Lord will reset our heart, it needs us to actually lie completely on the table and say, Lord, do with me what you want to do. This takes time. This is not something that just happens in one day. It means a continuous, consistent engagement with the Spirit of God. If you know anything about heart surgery, you know that heart surgery is not something you rush the surgeon to do. You don't have a flight at 1 o'clock and walk into the surgeon's room at 12:30 and say, look, there's a problem in my heart. Fix it quickly because I need to clash a flight at 1 o'clock. The guy will just laugh at you. He will just send you away, you know. When you come back from your trip, if you are able to make it back alive, then you come and then we'll talk. Because it needs you need to lie. It's not just that you need time. You need to be completely surrendered. You know, there are some superficial surgery, you know, especially on the skin, that you can actually do with people taking tea and coughing and laughing with you. It's just a piece of local anesthesia. And then you can be chatting about, you know, the game last night, the footy game that is coming next week. And you laugh and talk and you know, and then the doctor will be doing his work and you are going to be doing your own. You can even be answering phone calls. When a man is doing heart surgery, he doesn't take calls. When a man is doing heart surgery, he doesn't check Facebook. Is gone, completely gone on the table. And that's the kind of hard reset that we need in this year, 2018, to amount to anything meaningful in the hand of God. We need to come to a point where we say, Lord, I have tried all. They've all failed. I need you to come and reset my heart. There is a problem with my heart. There is a problem with the way I function. There is a problem with the way I relate to things. The things that please you no longer interest me. Why? There is a trouble in my soul. Somebody will say, well, that's just me. No, that's not you. You were never made not to have pleasure in the things that pleases God. When the things that please God rather don't excite you anymore, there is a trouble deep down in your soul. And it needs to be fixed, people of God. You need to come to him and talk to him as your father. Father, fix my heart. Fix my heart as we begin this year, 2018. That's what I want you to. And this is not an in and out, you know, inconsistent engagement with God. You know, aren't you guys sick and tired of just seeking God, you know, as a drive-through thing? Aren't you tired of just sleeping in one Sunday and then go for another 6 weeks and then sleeping in another time? Things don't happen in your heart that way, people of God. It's a continuous, consistent engagement with the scalpel and the blade of the surgeon that gets this job done. It's a heart surgery. It's a heart surgery, the deepest part of your being. So I desire, people of God, this year to engage with the Word of God. The Bible talks about the washing of the water by the Word. The washing of the water by the word. They need to drain the pus that is in your soul. And only God can do that. No man can do it. God needs to go into that part of your heart and fix that artery that is blocked and clogged. And there is no response when the Lord speaks because your heart is not touched anymore. There has been a caking of the heart, a deposit of some fatty tissues that is not allowing that heart to pump as well as it should. And that needs to be scaled out. There needs to be a reconnection at the micro level of the heart that the Lord needs to do. And that starts when you are surrendered on the table, people of God. It starts when you are surrendered on the table. So it's not just an acknowledgement of the fact that you have drifted away from God. It's not an acknowledgement of the fact that I've gone away from what used to be my passion in the Lord. It's also a time for us to ask, Lord, do this surgery and start right away. I'm engaged with you this year. I've devoted the entirety of this year to you, consistent engagement to get you to do this work. However, because if I continue this way, it will kill me. It's already killing me. Lord, do it. And then that takes us to the third thing that David said. And we see that in verse number 13. So the first thing is acknowledge your drift from God. The second thing is ask God to reset your heart. And then finally, is to avow your commitment to the Lord. Avow your commitment to the Lord. Avow your commitment to the Lord. Now, I will talk about what is expressed here first, and then I will talk about what is implied, what the statement of David in this place presupposes. Now, to avow means to declare or to assert openly. At the end of a wedding, the couples take their vows and in which they avow their commitment to each other. I'm making this declaration that in sickness and in health, for richer or for poorer, we're going to be sticking together, you know, like a siblings twins or whatever the case means. You are making you declare that openly. In the presence of one or two or many other people. Now, avow your commitment unto the Lord. in verse number 13, you see David saying something like this. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted unto you. Now, let me explain what David is saying here. He's saying, I acknowledge that my heart has drifted far away from you, Lord. Two, I ask that you reset it and bring it back home to what it was originally. And three, after you have done that, Lord, I solemnly promise that I will tell others, thinkers like myself, like I used to be, I will tell them, after you have reset my heart, that they also need a reset, and they can also only get this reset from you, because it's only you that does that. You are the only one that does this kind of a heart surgery. That's what he's saying. I will tell them about the fact that you are the one that is able to help them out. Then I will teach transgressors your way, and sinners shall be converted unto you. This is pure, undiluted evangelism. Someone that has been helped going to other people from the group that he came out from to tell them, hey, you need help. And I know someone that can help you, and that's God. Now, that was what was expressed. But what was implied, or what does it, David's statement, what does it presuppose? Now, it presupposes the fact that David will never go back to what that condition ever again. David is here saying, I will never go back to that arena where my heart became corrupted. I will never go back there. Why? Because it is only when you are not part of them that you are able to tell them what the experience is on this other side. As long as you are part of them, there is no way you will be able to have a message pass across to them. You will not be able to teach them God's way. You will not be able to lead them God's way. So the challenge this morning, people of God, as we start this beautiful year, is that I want you to avow your commitment to the Lord to the point that you are saying that I'm going to guard my heart. You know, that's what the Bible says in Proverbs. Guard your heart with all diligence, with all vigilance, for out of it are the issues of life. That's actually from where everything that makes a man come out from. David is here saying, Lord, I am not going back there again. I've admitted the fact that I've gone adrift. I've been helped by you. I've asked you to help me, and you have helped me. Afterwards, I will tell them, I will teach transgressors your way, and sinners, the Bible says, and sinners shall be converted unto you. People of God, I want to challenge you this year, guard your heart. It's the most precious thing that the Lord has given unto you. Guard it from being corrupted by anything that takes place in our society. By the thoughts of people, by the actions of people, by the worldview that is becoming more and more corrupt as the day progresses, by the darkness of the day. Guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. 2018 promises to be a great year. I believe that with all of my heart. I believe there is a more of God for every one of us to experience. I believe that there is more blessing, more grace, more help from God. I believe this year is going to be a year of health, wholesomeness, a year where we're going to bust out from the seam, a year where we're going to experience all of God. But I also know with the whole of my heart that there is no one that has a corrupted soul that will experience the busting forth that we're talking about. There's no one that has a corrupted heart that will be able to experience the goodness, this magnitude of God's goodness. And that's why I'm challenging you, people of God. Recognize that you have gone adrift. Ask him to reset your heart and make a commitment to him. Lord, where you brought me from, I am not going back there again. If you do this, people of God, you have set up the year on the platform of glory. And that's the way it will end. Shall we pray?